We've often shared that prophecy given is very rarely for the current time period. We hear a prophecy and we get bent out of shape because it doesn't happen tomorrow. Think about the prophetic, what the prophecies concerning Christ, how many years? Just because it's long doesn't mean it's not untrue. But one thing that prophecy should do, in addition to revealing to us what's going to happen, it also lets us know the preparation that's needed because of what's about to happen. It lets us know some things that we should be doing. I shared this on Wednesday, kind of, sort of, so to speak. I mentioned this on Wednesday. We're going to talk about it a little more detail today. There's a prophecy that Kenneth Hagin shared in 1980. And I'm going to read it, and I want you to think about 2024. The end of the age is coming upon this generation. The powers of darkness, the forces of evil are rampant as never before. And they will be increased in intensity and velocity. And even many Christians will see and look up upon these things and say, there's no use. Throw up their hands in futility and say, I guess it's all over. We'll just have to hold on and pray for Jesus to come shortly because the devil is about to take over everything. But thus saith the Lord, in this day, I'm searching the body of Christ to enlist soldiers. I'll raise up a new band. I'll raise up a new army who will know how to pray against the powers of darkness. And the light will dispel the darkness, and the truth will set men free, and prayer will break the bonds that bind men's minds and spirits and bodies. Yea, there are those who will learn to take their place hurriedly. It must be hurriedly, quickly. It must be that they learn, that they enter in quickly to stand against the forces of darkness and evil that will try to come against the land, against the church, against the home, that would try and disrupt and destroy all that is good and all that God has endorsed. But the hand of the Lord is upon those who will listen. The hand of the Lord is upon those who will listen. And at the urge of God in the Spirit to those who are attentive, they will pray. The Spirit of God will help you to pray. Do not try to do it yourself, though there must be labor on your part, yet at the same time rest in Him. Let the Spirit flow through you like a river. Let it flow through you. Give vent to those innermost groanings. Let them escape your lips. Take the time to get alone and wait, sometimes not even saying anything, but on the inside of you there's an agonizing. There is a flowing out of your spirit by the Holy Spirit to the Great Spirit, the Father of spirits, and thou shalt be sustained. Thou shalt be kept in thy family, and thy home will be sure and stand fast, and thy children shall grow up strong and stalwart in the Lord. They will have no fear. They will have no fear. Even though it looks like darkness is going to prevail. It looks like it. I remember a commercial, is it real or is it Memorex? Sounds like the real thing, may look like the real thing, but the real thing is what God said, not what the enemy does. And we have to start getting our focus back on what God has said. Period. Jeremiah 22:29 says, O earth, O earth, hear the word of the Lord. I discovered that there are things that we have, things given to us from God, and we have to understand those things. We're going to focus on God's grace. Let me put it teaser out there with this. Ephesians 3:20, I believe, says God will do exceeding abundantly above, according to the power that's at work in you, within you. I realized what he was saying, because I've read that scripture a number of times, and you just read over the words. Get excited. He'll do exceeding abundantly above. Yes, yes, yes. Think about what it means. He will do exceeding abundance. Well, what's abundant? What does abundant mean?
More than enough.
More than enough? He's going to exceed abundance.
Yes, sir.
Of whatever you can ask or think. According to the power that's at work in you. According to the purpose. Why do you want that thing? Do you want it because you know you are the one? Or do you want it because you want it? But God said he will do exceeding abundantly above. God, I need more grace. You have exceedingly abundantly above all the grace you will ever need. The Apostle Paul was complaining about what he was going through. And as I often say when I share this passage, what I found interesting is it doesn't talk about him doing anything for God while he was complaining. Take a lesson from that. But he said, three times I called upon the Lord and besought him. I'm in the Amplified Classic. Three times I called upon the Lord and besought him about this and begged that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace, my favor, and loving kindness and mercy is enough for you, sufficient against any danger, and enables you to bear the trouble manfully. For my strength and my power are made perfect, fulfilled, and completed, and show themselves most effective in your weakness. Therefore, I will all the more glory in my weakness and infirmities, that the strength and power of Christ, the Messiah, may rest, yea, may pitch a tent over and dwell upon me. So for the sake of Christ, I am pleased to take pleasure in infirmities, insults, hardships, persecution, perplexities, and distresses. For when I am weak in human strength, then am I truly strong, able, powerful in divine strength. Go quickly to Romans 5. I'm going to share this in the Amplified and Passion Translation. Then I have some comments about it. Verse 19, for just as by one man's disobedience, failing to hear, heedlessness and carelessness, the many were constituted sinners, so by one man's obedience, the many will be constituted righteous, made acceptable to God, brought into right standing with him. But then law came in only to expand and increase the trespass, making it more apparent and exciting opposition. But where sin increased and abounded, grace, God's unmerited favor, has surpassed it.
Yeah.
Okay. Say amen three times.
Amen.
We have to have Mr. Amen in the house. Say glory three times.
Glory.
The Passion Translation says, so then the law was introduced into God's plan to bring the reality of human sinfulness out of hiding. And yet, wherever sin increased, there was more than enough of God's grace to triumph all the more. We've been given more than enough of God's grace. Folks, I want you to think about what that means. We've been given the word, his grace is sufficient. And we're given another word, I get more than enough of God's grace. More than enough. You think you're just asking for the grace to get through a situation. But God said, "It's where sin abounds, grace does. Some translations say grace superabounded. More than I need. So if his grace is sufficient for me, and I have more than I need, what am I getting upset about? Why am I stressed out? I already know stress doesn't come from God. So why am I giving into that if I understand the bigger the problem, the bigger the abundance of grace that I have available to me? So you just lean back and just follow in his grace, no matter what's going on. It's actually a right to say, I don't care. His grace is not only sufficient, it will absolutely overwhelm your circumstances. See, I have overwhelming grace. Why is it necessary to have so much grace? Well, you guys have heard me say this before. People say, don't shoot a mouse with an elephant gun. I say, why not? I make sure I get it all. When I shoot the mouse with an elephant gun, there's no evidence of that mouse anymore. I don't want any evidence of sickness in my body. I don't want any evidence of sickness in my finances, sickness in my thinking, sickness in my neighborhood, sickness in my... I don't want any more of that. So I'm taking the super abundant amount of grace that God gave me and obliterate it. And his grace allows me to go through whatever I have to go through that process. The Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise a standard against it. Well, I looked up that word standard. I was amazed at all the different meanings. I'm like, my goodness. But definition number 6 in the Merriam-Webster Online Dictionary, a structure that's raised to defend you. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of God raises the place where you are not affected. He raises the standard against it. That means it knows the difference between who's for you and who's against you. And things that are for you can come in. Things that are not, stays out. As you stay in Christ. Isaiah 59 was what I shared with you, where it said, the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift the standard against him. But I have a question for you. How does a flood come in? Flood just ease down the road. Now, what comes in angrily, making you think it's going to wipe out everything? Ripping up trees and just making a show. Then it encounters this believer who knows who they are in Christ, who understands that God's grace is sufficient, who knows that the enemy raised a strong standard against the onslaught. Just like the Israelites were safe behind the blood on the doorpost, when we get in that place that God raised against the enemy for us, we're protected. We're equally protected. Don't be moved by the noise of the enemy coming in. Blood clots came in my body like a flood. Multiple blood clots in both lungs. As far as I was concerned, one blood clot's a flood. But you have multiple. God raised the standard against it. He said to me, John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you will have tribulations and trials and distresses and frustrations, but be of good cheer. Take courage, be confident, certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world, and I have deprived it of its power to harm you and have conquered it for you. So when the doctor told me there were multiple blood clots in both my lungs, I said, okay. And he said, okay, yeah. You're not concerned about it? Not really, not too. So may I ask why? Sure. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. But be not dismayed, I've overcome the world, I've taken away its power to harm you. So doc, you could say, in this world, you may have blood clots. In this world, there may be a 9/11. Be not dismayed. I've overcome the world. I've taken away its power to harm you. He said, wow. And I said, may I see the CAT scan? So you don't want to see that? Yes, I do. I can handle, I've seen other procedures under this body. I can handle a CAT scan. And I said, okay, let me show me where the blood clots are. And they showed me the blood clots. And the nurse said, this is what baffles us. Usually, when they get to this point, they go into the aortic artery and cause a lot of problems. But for some reason, when your blood clots, got to this point, they went to the left and right and enlarged in areas of your lungs that were not as critical. I said, that was Jesus taking away their power to harm me. Waded out the flood, riding above the circumstances. And God's grace made it possible for me to not to fuzz out thinking about the reputation of blood clots. Folks, do yourself a favor. Stop reading about the reputation of your enemy. You heard me say this a number of times. I'm going to keep saying it. When I was a basketball player, I never inquired about the record of my opponent. It didn't matter. They're undefeated. So what am I going to start out losing 20-0? No, my attitude was they haven't played us yet. When someone came and said, they're undefeated. So, and? You can be 11-1. It's not illegal. But you have to have perfect peace and confidence to take that position. Because when you start reading about the reputation of the enemy, you'll start replaying it in your head over and over and over and over, and faith will leave you. Because you'll be thinking more about the power of the enemy than the power of your faith. You'll be thinking about what you're going to go through because of the enemy. And not that you have more than enough grace to get through this. See, we need to understand, Jesus said in John 16:33, I've told you these things so that in me you might have perfect peace. In me. And I know, I feel he wanted to say you will absolutely have, but knowing people like he does, he already knows that some folks are going to, they're going to eventually get there, but they're going to have to struggle a little bit. They're going to have to swallow some of the water before they realize, I don't have to do this. God already raised the standard. But this is the thing that excited me. A couple of weeks ago, we talked about things being non-negotiable. Things God has told us to do or to not do have to be off the table, not open for discussion. Non-negotiable. But there's another aspect of that. Everything God said concerning what he's doing for us is also non-negotiable. That means no matter what comes, God is going to do what he said he's going to do. How do I know that? He said so. Jeremiah 1:12, a classic. Then said the Lord to me, "You have seen well, for I am alert and active, watching over my word to perform it." So God doesn't just say it and go off playing hoops or something. He stays there and watches to make sure his word does exactly what he sent it out to do. He said, "For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect, useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose, and it will prosper in the thing for which I sent it." The word will prosper. What does prosper mean? What do you think prosper means? Beg pardon? Abound, abundance, constantly doing well. The word is going to abound in whatever God sent it out to do. It's going to do it. It doesn't care what comes. Nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it. He also said in Isaiah, he said, "Have I not spoken it? And I will also bring it to pass. Have I not purposed it? I will also do it." I don't just give it purpose, I give it completion. One more thing. Hebrews 8, verse 6 in the Amplified Classic. "But as it is, as it now is, he," Christ, "has acquired a priestly ministry which is as much superior and more excellent than the old one, as the covenant, the agreement of which he is the mediator, the arbiter, the agent, is superior and more excellent because it is enacted and rests upon more promise, more important, sublimer. It's more important, it's sublimer, it's higher and nobler promises." You think about that. We are a New Testament church. We're founded on better promises. So you look at everything God did in the Old Testament, we have better. Better. So what if the powers of darkness and the forces of evil are rampant as never before? We have grace that wasn't here. Or I should say this, we have grace like never before. Abundant grace. Who cares that they increase in intensity? So does my praise. So does my praise. My grace allows me to remain steady while Christ causes me to triumph. You think about that. I don't have to throw one punch. I have to stand strong. And as that song, "Let the Word Do the Work." And when trouble comes, when circumstances show up, when things come to try and unseat my peace, steal my health, my finances, all I have to say is, "Lord, you promised me. So I'm never going to fret. You promised me, and you never failed me yet. Why are you so sure about that? You can't go back on your word. Everything that you say has got to come true. And anytime I get in trouble, I read your word. That's why I know you promised me. Stand to your feet. Minister D, grab a mic. Please. Say, you promised me. That's why I never fret. You promised me. And you never failed me yet.